Good after evening. Welcome back to the Unaccounted For podcast. It is May 20th, 2018. I'm coming at you live. Lively with the hood, you know. We're ready to go. We're feeling good. We got the good energy. I was not vibing my last podcast last Sunday. I don't know. I was a space cadet, you know. Normally I'm very focused, you know. But last week, I don't know. I think my mind was all over the place, and I drank, which I'm not used to. So I think I was just like super duper uber spacey. And you know what? We're going to have a great podcast episode this week. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. I've been doing stand-up constantly. I've been sitting down most of the time, but stand-up, whoa. no, it's been really, really good. I've done stand-up, I think, 9 times this week. I tried to do 7 minimum, so we're running a little bit above the numbers, you know? We're kind of feeling good, kind of going with it. You know, I'm trying to work on my new 5 minutes for this up. You know, I try to do an industry show every couple of months. I've only done one, but I'm trying to get a good 5 minute set so I can go do another show and kind of have another benchmark for that. So I'm really, really working on this new stuff, and we'll have a little bit of workshop going today. I want to. I have a joke that I've kind of played for you guys before, but I'm working on developing it. And if you guys don't know, Unaccounted For is the place where me, Ted Barton, who has an accounting degree and wants to be a stand-up comedian, tries it all and works really hard, hopefully, and tries to find his voice on stage, tries to find the meaning of life through that and through intentional struggle and battling conformity. You know, we're just going all after it. We're getting it good. and yeah, it's corny sometimes, but that's kind of the vibe that I like to go with. And it's just me, you know. You gotta own what you are, and then nobody can hurt you. and you'll see that in this episode with a couple of these clips. I really put myself out there on stage, and I'm getting better about it. That's something that I struggled with early on. If you've listened to this podcast, you've heard me be super awkward, super uncomfortable. I'm standing still. If you want to look up on YouTube, Ted Barton Stand Up, you can see literally the first time I ever did stand-up comedy. Very timid, tepid laughter is what I would get. And I can't blame the audience because I was very uncomfortable with who I am, and nobody wants to laugh at somebody who's not like going full force, you know. So I'm figuring that out, and I've got a couple of fun clips to play for you guys today. We're gonna go ahead and start this one off strong here. I'm gonna go ahead and play the first clip. Here we go.
I like you. Yeah, they don't really let you be yourself at the accounting firm. I was at the Christmas party last year. That was a doozy, you know. They're like, just show up at the Christmas party, be yourself. I'm like, okay. They're like, seriously, turn it up a notch. I'm like, okay. They're like, go hard. I'm like, okay. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny... Remix!
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a really shiny nose like a light bulb.
What's eggnog? Anybody?
Okay. I'm going to go home now.
I didn't mean real life. I was at the Christmas party, people. Could you not tell?
Okay, so if you've heard this podcast before, that is a joke that I've been working on. Basically, the premise of this joke is like the people, you know, the people in your work environment want you to be yourself, quote unquote. But when you actually like do some crazy ish, they don't accept you. That's the premise of this joke. So, you know, they want you to be yourself, like, to an extent, is what I'm trying to communicate here. You know, because the real me is, like, not warranted by anybody ever. So this is something I've been working on. I used to, when I did this joke previously, I would start singing, like, I'm blue, da-ba-dee, da-ba-die. And you might have heard that in, like, I think two episodes ago I played that. But I thought about it, and I was like, that doesn't make sense. I'm saying it's a Christmas party. Why am I singing some old pop song? So I changed it to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I used to do this DMX impression with that deep voice. And on a really old episode, I played a sound clip of me doing a DMX impression at the Jacksonville Comedy Club. So this is like merging, like, the two jokes together. So I'm able to incorporate this goofy AF voice into, like, my my bit. So remix. And so I'm gonna bring up a couple of issues with this right now. My rhythm is very off in the clip you just listened to. If you hear it, I do this big build up where I'm like, they're like, be yourself. No, be yourself. Be yourself. Really, turn it up a notch. And then I pause, and that threw off the joke. Okay? So my rhythm was bad here. And I'll show you another clip after this demonstrating how it sounds when I have a better rhythm. Okay, with that being said. And then a second issue is I don't know how to finish this joke. I've tried it. I've done this joke, like, I think every single time I've performed this week, so 9 times. I've done this joke 9 times just this week, and I cannot crack the code of figuring out how to end this joke, because I've tried it all these different ways. I've tried, you know, I do the act out of me, you know, being myself, and then I've tried switching back to my boss or whatever and being judgmental and saying, no, be yourself within reason, and that never works. I don't know why it doesn't work. And then I've tried not even switching back to the boss, but just, like, doing the crazy, like, DMX voice and then going back to, like, being self-conscious. So you hear that in this one where I say, I'm going to go home now. And I think that only worked well because the audience reacted the way they did. And you hear me get this big laugh. Here, let me I'll play the little part of the clip one more time so you guys know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I'm going to go home now.
Oh. No. I didn't mean real life. That was. We're at the Christmas party, people. Could you not tell?
Okay, so you hear that? I finished the joke, and then I'm like, okay, and I'm kind of like coming down from being myself and realizing they're not so fond of it, and then I'm saying I'm gonna go home. This doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't. Like, it only. I only get a laugh here because I react to the way the audience reacted, which we both know that that's not going to, like, last me in the long run. I'm going to have to be consistent somehow. So I really don't know what to do. We'll probably discuss it in further detail of, like, my ideas or whatever, but that's where we're at with this joke. I'm going to play another version of this joke that I did even more recently. And this one has better rhythm, and I get a bigger laugh when I go DMX on them. So here is take two of the Christmas joke.
Yeah, I'm an accountant, so it's really hard to be myself. I was at the Christmas party last year. I was like, hey, guys, it's a party. They're like, come on, be yourself. I'm like, let's do it. They're like, come on, turn it up a notch. I'm like, okay. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Remix. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Got a shiny nose rifle.
That was DMX. Hit the remix. Anyone want eggnog? This is fun.
Okay, so that was an interesting clip. Just to break that down, break it down a little bit. You hear what happens. I have really great rhythm right there. Like the performance quality of this one when I'm doing the act out with the voice is, like, much better. I have a rhythm, you know, and it flows so. You see, in the first take that I did this, I had this pause, and I talked about this. But with this clip, I had no pause when I started into. They're like, come on, turn it up a notch. And I was like, okay, Rudolph, you know, you hear that rhythm that I did right there? That was the rhythm I had in take two. And that made the DMX voice get a big laugh when I, like, remix, you know, like, I had this kind of spontaneous rhythm, like an unpredictable rhythm. and I didn't let them sit with it too long. So the DMX thing killed here, and committed fully, and it went really well. Now, you can see what I'm talking about, how I don't know how to follow the voice. It's so hard to follow because the voice gets this huge laugh. And, you know, now we're going to analyze, like, why the end of that joke isn't working. And I'm going to be thinking about this out loud, really, because I all this stuff goes on in my head, but this is good because I get to verbalize it to you guys. This comedy stuff is fascinating. You never know why things get a laugh. You can really try and figure it out, and that's the fun part of this process. I'm taking my analytical skills from the accounting world and trying to use them to edit my bits. That's what we're doing here. So I finished the DMX voice, and I go back to me, and I go, that was DMX. He did a remix, and that doesn't get a laugh. And then I say, who wants eggnog? And that doesn't get a laugh. So I ice them real hard after the voice. And it's difficult because I don't know where to go with it. I was thinking even of like taking it up even a notch further, because I've now like expanded so hard, like I'm doing this crazy voice. Maybe if I somehow like even like outdid that, and I like move my body or dance, and then like maybe kept talking like DMX, you know. I don't know where this could go, but there's something there, because the beauty of this joke is I have built context around being myself, so I can do whatever the hell I want to in this joke because it's now warranted, because I've juxtaposed myself against like kind of an awkward, uptight accounting party, right? So anything really is warranted here, as long as it's with good rhythm and it's funny and it adds to the joke. So I think for future attempts at this, I'm going to like expand upon the initial idea and maybe like go even more crazy, like even more like what the hell is going on. And I think if I heighten that enough, coming down might be a little bit funnier. I don't know. I really don't know how to end this. I was thinking about saying, why are you guys looking at me like that? So maybe I do the voice. I'm DMX, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And then I say, and then I get silent for like 1 second. I don't want to give it too much time. And then I say, why are you guys looking at me like that? I think that, I don't know. We'll try it. This is the hard part about comedy, guys, is like I have this big thing of clay and I'm just chipping away at it, and I'm trying to find like the beautiful statue out of the big mound of clay. There's something here, and it's obviously working pretty well, but I need to keep ironing it out and trying new things, and you guys get to see the process of that. That's why I think this podcast is kind of interesting, because, you know, even if you don't do comedy, you realize how much goes into stand-up. You know, the average stand-up comedian's like 1 hour special. They spend 20 hours approximately on each minute of comedy. 20 hours of like thinking, writing, performing, honing it, working on it. Like this, there's a lot of thought goes into this, and I think I'm getting closer to figuring it out. I've improved the joke significantly. I mean, I'm doing this voice now. And it's getting bigger laughs. It's growing, but the end is so weak, and I don't know what to do. But I'll definitely keep you guys updated. We'll see where this joke takes me. I like this joke because it's getting me more comfortable on stage. Like, when I have to do this act out, like, I have to be kind of fearless, and I really have to commit to this. So it's definitely stretching me in front of everybody, like, it's definitely good for me, you know. And I think talking about like my first stand-up performances, this is like letting myself be seen. And that's something I had a lot of trouble with. And I've gotten a lot better at it recently just by repetition and like doing things that really make me uncomfortable. Like, this is personal growth of like, I used to be afraid to do that dumb DMX voice, the deep voice, in front of my friends in high school. Like, I would be nervous to even show that part of myself. when I'm in the shower every day being a goof and dancing and whatnot, but like I've gotten to the point now where I can share what I used to be afraid to share to my friends. Now I can share that to literally total strangers in a room with a microphone. And I mean, that's a pretty big milestone. I'm going to go ahead and give myself a little pat on the back because that's definitely cool. And this girl came up to me after I did stand-up, and she did it as well. And she was like, hey, I'm new. I can't believe – like, how are you so comfortable on stage? This girl – she was – I don't want to call her a girl. She's like 32. She's like a woman, and she was just starting in a stand-up. And – she wanted to, like, pick my brain about, like, how I'm so comfortable up there and how I'm, you know, myself so much and so much of myself. and I don't know. It's really cool because please, guys, go listen to my first stand-up. Like, I will encourage you to go listen to the first time I did stand-up, and you will see how – I just want this podcast to be – like literal proof that you can grow out of awkward stages and get better at something that you really care about. Because I think a lot of people are just afraid to try new things. But like the coolest part about this is not only am I getting better at the thing I love to do, but I'm getting better at me. You know, like I'm getting better at orienting myself in the world. Like I used to just be afraid to like talk to people and like whatever, you know, that's nothing. And it's cool that I'm now getting to the point where I'm like at the intermediate level of open mics and I can kind of like give back to people who are starting out and give them advice. You know, like this 17-year-old kid really. I mean, he's just started doing stand up. He's in high school and he came up to me afterwards and was like, "Hey man, I really love your stuff. Like, can I get your phone number?" And you know, like, it's cool that I get to be that for people. And I think this is, like, this is one of the reasons I really want to do this is because, like, there's so many arrogant people who get really good or, like, are skilled and they don't want to give back to anybody. I mean, that's the whole point of life, right? Aren't we trying to encourage and influence other people? It's, like, the idea that, I don't know, people are weird. And, I kind of like the idea of being nice to people, you know? Call me crazy. But I think there needs to be a little bit more of that and a little bit more of people who are, like, genuinely loving what they do and just wanting to spread that however they can. Yeah, man, the more and more I hear Jordan Peterson talk about fear, I know I talk a lot about fear on here and overcoming it. But he broke down this children's story recently. It was a story about like this imaginary dragon. This kid has an imaginary dragon, and when the dragon was denied, the dragon would grow bigger. The mom would say, "There's no such thing as dragons," and the dragon would get a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger every time the mom would deny the dragon existed. And the dragon represents fear. And when you deny that something exists, like if you're fearful of something and you deny that that exists, it gets bigger and bigger and it becomes more and more of a problem. And the dragon just needs you to address it. I know this is getting weird and I don't do any justice to what Jordan Peterson can do, but I love it because it's the concept of when you neglect a problem because you're fearful of it, it grows and gets out of hand. So Jordan Peterson's idea was that, like, well, at the beginning he poses the question, why do dragons hoard gold, right? That's the question he says. Why? Because that's like a mythological idea. Why do dragons hoard gold? And he broke down this children's story, and at the end he reveals, he says, dragons represent fear, and dragons hoard gold because the fear, when you follow the fear, you get something that is, you get a prize from defeating the dragon within your life. The dragon within my life was self-consciousness. So when I, like, slaying the dragon in my own life was me doing stand-up. And when you defeat the dragon, and I know this is very symbolic, but when you defeat the dragon, you claim the rewards. And I love that imagery where the thing we need most lies within our biggest fears. And that's the point of life. Like, he poses the question, like, what if the things that we need to unlock in our own lives, what if those can only be found where our fears are? Like, what if our greatest treasure is where our fear is the greatest? And I love that. And you slay the dragon, you get a piece of him, and the more and more of those pieces you encounter and pick up, like, the stronger you get. So I'm trying to just slay this self-consciousness thing, and I'm loving seeing where it's going, because it's now allowed me to give back to people. You see how that works? Me being bold and figuring this thing out and taking the hits of, like, you know, short-term fear and doubt and risking it, that's allowed me to give back to this woman or this 17-year-old guy who needs somebody to, like, give them guidance. And I'm developing a testimony for myself where it's like, yeah, like, I've struggled with this too. I know exactly what you mean. If you would have seen me, that's what I said to her. I was like, if you would have seen me, like a year ago even, or 6 months ago even, you'd be like, oh my God. Like, that is the most uncomfortable, shy person on stage. Not funny. Not genuine. Talking about random crap. Making everybody uncomfortable. But, like, the further I get, it's like, wow, I can actually, like, give meaningful advice to this person who requires it. And nobody else is giving it to her, you know? Nobody else is talking to the 17-year-old kid who's, like, wanting to meet people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe people are talking to him. But but you see what I'm saying? There's a reason we face our fears. And there's a reason we intentionally grow. You know, fear, to have a growth mindset, I think, is the single most important thing you can have in life. Because if you want to continuously grow, you have to keep asking yourself, like, what are the things in my life that are inhibiting me from becoming, like, a virtuous person? Like, what are the things holding me back? Am I angry about something? Am I vengeful? Am I remorseful? Am I afraid? Do I not want to face those fears? And when you say, like, It's made me look at fear completely differently, because now instead of saying, like, what fear, I don't want to do this because I'm afraid, I say, I should do this. Why? What can I gain from doing this? You know, like, what's the gold from this fear? And sometimes it's pointless. Like the other night, I was standing I was at Union Square. I was waiting for a friend to show up. And there is this, like, rap circle. It's like a cypher, you know? And it's like freestyle rapping. It's this group that does it. So there's this huge crowd circled in Union Square. And I'm waiting for my friend. And I'm standing around. And people are, like, freestyling and spitting bars, you know, rapping. And I was like, this is cool. Like, and part of me, like, you know when you're at, like, a dance circle? And, like, your heart is kind of racing, and you're like, I want to get in there. I want to get in the circle. You know, everybody's taking turns getting in the circle and dancing. It's like, I don't know why. I just want to get in the circle. But you're afraid, right? So that's kind of how this was. It was like a rap circle. It wasn't a dance circle. It was a rap circle. And there's these, like, thug dudes, you know, some normal people are freestyling, and it's got, like, this really cool vibe, and people are going around and freestyling, and I was standing there, and I had just heard the Jordan Peterson thing about the dragon, and I was so afraid to freestyle, like, in front of this crowd, and I can freestyle decently well. Like I did this in high school, just like having fun and messing around with my friends. And so slowly and slowly I scooch up to the middle of the circle, and I'm wearing business casual, so I'm looking like a real doofus. And I'm vibing, like I'm going side to side, you know, I'm having a good time with it. And I love just playing that character, just like the naive white kid, you know, where he's just like, yeah, hey, this is cool, guys, groovy, nice beats. I can just be that person. So I was really I was like acting, you know, and I'm just kind of going side to side. And I kept asking myself, I was like, why the hell, like, I'm afraid, obviously, but like, what is there to gain from this? Why am, like, what's the gold from this dragon? You know, I'm afraid of freestyle rapping. I don't know what's to be gained. Maybe it's like stretching myself like a little bit more and like not caring about what people think of me. That's probably it. So I was going to do it. Like, I was completely dead set. And the guy next to me was rapping, and I start going, yo, 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 yo. And then I go to start rapping. I go, I was going to say, I'm done with this. Scratch it off the bucket list. And that was like my first bar I was going to spit. And so I go, yo, yo, like I'm trying to, you know, pick it up from the guy to the left of me. And I go, yo, yo, I'm done with this. And the guy goes, no, 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 I'm going to still go. And he cut me off. And then he starts roasting me. Looking like you belong in class. I'm a bust your ass, you know. And he's, like, rapping about me. And I was like, all right, this is dumb. I like stand-up because everybody gets to take a turn. It's like, if we're not going to... I'm not the person to like force myself on a rap circle, you know. I'm not gonna be like, yo, no, you shut up, I got something to say, you know. I'm never gonna be that person. And then like somebody else starts rapping, and I'm like, all right, you know, the opportunity passed me by, and that was good enough. Like, I was standing in front of the dragon, like, yo, I'm about to spit some fire at you, bruh. And and you know, the world didn't want me to, so my friend showed up and I left. But I just want you guys to know, for the record, I would have totally freestyled, and I didn't give a heck who was watching, you know. But I mean, it's a good question of like, when you're afraid to do anything, it's like, well, why am I afraid, you know? Like, what's the worst that can happen? If anything, it's just a funny story. And I've actually gotten to the point where I'm like, I got to do this for the podcast now. Like, I got to face my fear just so I can talk about it on the podcast. And it's definitely pushing me past my limits. But, no, just in conclusion, like, thank you guys for listening. Like, I hope that you can take what I'm trying to wrap my head around as a basis for learning and, like, a growth mindset, and that you guys can realize that whatever it is you really, like, actually want to do, if you, like, took all the judgment away from anybody, like, all the fear away, all of, like, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of sucking, like, not being good at what you want to do, the fear of people seeing you not be good at what you want to do, the fact that you love something, that should be enough for you to just go after it. And just, like, forget about all the judgment or whatever's going to happen. Because it's like, you're doing this for you and for other people eventually. But, you know, it's like, chase after that. And when you're chasing after, you know, to fulfill your dream is scary. And when you chase after that fear, you just keep accumulating and unlocking parts of yourself that you've never been able to access before. And now I'm able to be so much more of myself, and you guys can do whatever you want to do, and don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. That's a fact. I mean, don't be an idiot about it. You know, I had to get an accounting degree before I could start really doing stand-up a lot, but, you know, do what you have to do. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. I had a blast with you. I'll talk to you next Sunday. Enjoy this music. Talk to you soon. Peace.
should find her a replacement. I swear now I can't take it. Knowing somebody's got my baby. And now you ain't around, baby, I can't think. I should've put it down, should've got that ring. Cause I can still feel it in the air. See a pretty face, run my fingers through her hair. My love, my life, my shawty, my wife. She left. At every turn, trying to get my usher on, but I can't let it burn. And I just hope she know that she the only one I yearn for. More and more I miss her, what will I learn? Didn't give her all my love, I guess now I got my payback. Now I'm in the club thinking all about my baby. Hey, she was so easy to love, but wait, I guess that love wasn't enough. I'm going through it every time that I'm alone. And now I'm wishing she'd pick up the phone. But she made the decision that she wanted to move on. Cause I was wrong. And I was thinking about her. Somebody put your hands up. If you ever love somebody, put your hands up. Let it go.